Hello and welcome back on this lovely Thursday morning to the Great Escape Minute. Today we will be discussing Minute 19 on Daily Podcast, The Great Escape, 1 minute at a time. I'm Rob, and once again, Tom is still in the cooler, so he's not able to join us again today. But joining me today is, once again, the Forgotten Filmcast. Welcome back, Todd.
Thanks for having me.
Been a lot of fun this week, and hopefully we'll keep having so much fun. So this episode 19 starts off with finishing Ives's comment from yesterday is the word circumstances, and it goes until Hiltz starts screaming, ceasefire, ceasefire. So we continue the interactions and Ives at the beginning of this minute, where basically Ives jumps off the truck and presumably goes back to join everyone else who's there. And Chocolates then moves on to the next truck, which... There's mysteries here. I guess, they didn't have to supply the entire Reich. It was only, just everyone in Zagen at the time.
Every camp gets their own Christmas trees. It's kind of a pride thing. You know, it builds community spirit within the camp, you know. They all decorate their own trees. They all string their own, you know, popcorn garland, all that kind of stuff.
Exactly. So Stockwitz, once again, takes the pitchfork and starts... About to put it into the truck, and he jams in one time, and then Ives
with the music again. With you the can't music, leave out of course. The music stingers. You know they're there again.
Ives then whistles, and then from that on the second truck, you see Willie pop his head out, which he doesn't. He looks pretty distraught. There we saw him last week climb into, and then we actually get to see who the two guys are who jumped into the last truck. One of them actually is Haynes, who was in the fight with Sedgwick last week, you know, diversion. So he was able to when Sedgwick ran off after their fight and was able to join the Russian groups. So Haynes was able to actually climb up on top of the building and off with someone else who I'm not able to identify who the other one is, it's pretty funny.
They move on very quickly, you know. I mean, there's a fight 1 minute, and the next minute they're, you know, jumping in line with Russian guys with saws, and then the other guy is climbing up on the roof. You know, you just got to keep moving forward. That's the way it
goes. That's right. And then we have a third guy pop out from the last truck, meaning we have five guys who all thought of this idea of trying to get out via. I think the final one is Nemo. I think that's his name, Nemo. If I remember correctly.
Now I have a question though about, you know, kind of how things go down here because, he goes and he's stabbing into this stack of trees and stuff again. And Ives then whistles and I'm like, and the others pop out. And I'm like, is the whistle like that style of whistle, like the universal cue for, you're about to get stabbed by a pitchfork, stand up? Because I don't know if I just randomly heard a whistle that I would know, oh, a guy's about to stab me with a pitchfork.
True, but maybe it's something that's common vernacular, you know, in the among the pit. You know, if you see someone's about to get caught, what's the whistle, like Ives whistles? I don't know. I mean, I'm just trying to think of...
So they train them this way. So if you hear a whistle, you know that means... you're about to get stabbed with a pitchfork. So this then carries over, you know, after the war in like real life, you know, they're in just regular situations. They're sitting at like a sporting event, a baseball game. People are cheering in the crowd. Somebody whistles and suddenly these guys are like, oh, someone's a pitchfork, you know, or, you know, someone sees a pretty girl walk by and they whistle and someone thinks, oh, there's a pitchfork nearby or something like that. It's the effects of war that nobody talks about, I guess.
Or maybe it's something that maybe it's from, they know from Pavlov. You know, that they learned that you know, you should have conditioning. The conditioning is that if you just, you know, if you whistle, you know, it means get out of there quickly.
I mean, I guess it's good to know, you know.
I mean, Pavlov died in 1936, so it is possible that someone was familiar with him.
Yeah.
I don't know what year he did the dog, you know, his whole dog shtick.
I guess it would come in handy if you knew that, you know, were you to be stabbed by a pitchfork, that you would hear a loud whistle beforehand. I mean, that would come in handy in life, I guess. So, yeah.
Yes, especially in these circumstances. That's a very good question, though. I don't have a real answer for it. And then it's great how Strachwitz's response is, I'm not going to take any action against you now. Meaning, he says, this is your first day here, and there's been many stupidity and carelessness on both sides. Okay? Now, to me, this is a straightforward. Basically, what he's saying is that you guys are all stupid and careless for trying to escape, and we've been stupid and careless for not noticing that you're jumping off and climbing into trucks and hiding as Russians. So that's just an interesting. Notice that the driver of the truck that Willie was in is just looking back. He's constantly looking to see what's going on. Wait a second. Where's McQueen? Yeah. Where's McQueen?
He's not paying attention, and then he accidentally gets a pitchfork in the eye. We talked about that before. Yeah.
Exactly. Now, I think it's great continuity here that they the truck that Haynes and Nemo and the other guy are in is the last truck, because if someone would have jumped into, then the driver of the third truck would have seen them.
The driver would have seen that makes perfect sense. Yeah.
Yeah. Then did you see what Willie does? He slicks his hair back.
It's the lice again. That's what's going
on. Could be. I mean, he spends a lot of time with Danny.
Yeah. And I mean, and what on earth else is crawling into their hair, you know, after being underneath all of those and stuff? I mean, you know, there are all kinds of nasty things hanging out in the trees like that. I mean, you know, I live in Colorado. We're always talking about like the Japanese pine beetle and things like that are getting into the trees and destroying things. I mean, who knows what's in these guys' hairs now after they've been ducking under, you know, tree branches.
That's actually a very good point. I didn't even think of it. No, but we've also discussed the fact in the past, and I'm sure we'll continue discussing it throughout the rest of this movie, the fact that everyone's clothes are neck. You know, they're not really disheveled. You'd think that after being in a prison camp for so long, where you're pretty much wearing the same clothes day in, day out, they're going to be somewhat disheveled. I mean, Danny's the only one who you actually see has patches on his sweater.
There's a camp cleanliness chain, you know, so they're all trying to, you know, keep up appearances, look nice.
Well, that Henley wins that one because, you know, no one else is walking around with a white turban.
Right. It's for success. That's what it's all about.
That's right. That's right. That's what you get when you hire James Garner. I've been talking to you all week about this movie, and I just haven't asked the most basic question, Todd. What's your history with this movie? When did you first see it? Is it among one of your favorite films? How many times have you seen it? Things like
I've seen it a couple of times. I don't think I can count it as a favorite, though I do love this movie. Favorites tend to be ones that I watch over and over and over again. And though I have seen this several times, you know, it's a 3-hour movie, you know, so it's hard to watch over and over and over again.
Speak for yourself.
But, the first time As you, there are so many movies out there. I'm often the type who goes, well, you know, there's so many movies I haven't seen yet, you know, so I tend to squeeze the ones in more these days, but I do love The Great Escape. I think the first time that I ever saw it was probably about 25 years ago. I remember back then the channel AMC, American Movie Classics, actually primarily showed movies and old movies at that.
Oh, they don't do that anymore?
Well, I don't have cable anymore, but I remember when I dropped cable that, you know, I was like, this is all The Walking Dead and other stuff. There's very rarely any actual classic movies on here anymore. They used to do every year a weekend campaign where they would raise money for some kind of a film organization of sorts, you know, a lot like the old PBS kind of fun drive things that they would do locally. And, you know, they spend a week, you know, doing their telethon and stuff. It was kind of like that, except it was AMC and they would raise money for this film preservation thing. And I remember one year it was, if you donated a certain amount of money, kind of bonus thing that they were going to give you was they were going to send you two movies. And they did this for several years, and it would, you know, it would fit whatever theme of the movies they were showing was. And this particular year they were doing war movies, and the two movies they were sending you on VHS were The Dirty Dozen and The Great Escape. And so I was like, okay.
Ooh, two Charles Bronson classics.
Yeah. And so I was like, you know what? I'd never seen either of those movies. I really want to see them. I think this is a good cause. So I donated. They sent me those two movies. So that was the first time I got to see The Greatest on two VHS tapes. Remember those big boxes that had the two movies?
You know? Yes, I do.
So that was, and I've seen it a couple of times throughout the years. The last time I watched it all the way through, and I admit I did not watch it all the way through getting ready for the podcast here, because I had seen it just recently, within the last few months. My family and I did a week where we – actually, no, it wasn't even a week. It was a day where we just said, we're going to watch movies all day. Four of us
I do that every day.
A movie. Yeah, well, it's hard for me to get my – with the whole family. That's the thing. Yeah.
Not with the whole family.
And so – and what we did – and this was my wife's idea. It was a great idea. She did a random word generator thing that came up with a word, and then we each had to pick a movie – that had something to do with that word. No, yeah, the word that came up was plan. P-N, plan. And the first thing that came to my mind was The Great Escape. And it was on Amazon Prime at the time. I'm not sure if it still is. I was like, oh, perfect. I have, this is a movie that's been on my list to show my kids and expose them to, and we haven't gotten to it yet. So I said, my pick is The Great Escape. And so... we watched that all together a few months ago. So, yeah.
Oh, wow. What other films did you watch?
Oh, let me try and remember here. My son picked Back to the Future because it does have a plan to it, where they're making the plan to get back to the future. It was a heist movie that none of us had ever seen. I think, what's the title? Top Copy? Are you familiar with that one?
That's a great Peter Ustinov, right?
And then, for the life of me, I can't remember what it was. That, something I've seen before, but I cannot think of it at the moment.
Aha, okay.
Oh, no, wait. I know what it was. It was The Parent Trap. The Parent Trap. There's a plan there to try and get the parents back together. So, yeah.
Okay, all right. That's cool. That's a great idea. People should try and do that. They should find a day when the whole family can get together and sit and watch movies where you randomly choose a theme. That's a fair idea.
Yeah, it was fun.
Sounds like it. All right, well, might as well get back to talking about this movie, though. So the scene then switches back to Hilt once again, which we discussed this earlier in the week, where you have Hilt and Goff. You don't really have them discussing it because Hilt is discussing it, and Goff just seems a little too, paranoid that he's going to get caught. I guess he's not something cooler. So I'm going to stay away from – Hiltz is my friend, but I'm going to stay away from him as much as possible. So Hiltz once again looks up at the different guard towers, at the guards who are just looking around, who they actually seem to be paying a little more attention than they were in previous minutes. There were previous minutes that the guards were just look really bored. They actually seem to feel that something's going on now a little more. Now, what I found a continuity error.
Uh-oh.
If you look in the background as Hiltz is walking over the wire, you see the Russian prisoners leaving the camp.
Oh, okay.
You see them between the barracks. So they're not even at the gate yet. So I it's a continuity error, or it could just be that this is all happening simultaneously. But I just found that really funny.
Or maybe there's, a second squad of Russian.
It could be. Could be. I don't or Danny there. So that's already something. Maybe.
Oh, they could have, though. They could have circled back, grabbed a different coat, different hat, tried it again,
I
mean,
because
different hat, it could work, I mean, it's like the glasses with Clark Kent. You never know.
Yeah, but the only person who doesn't notice the Clark Kent thing is Lois. Which I'm sure you've seen the Saturday Night Live skit from the 70s about that, where they're having a party. The superheroes are there.
Yeah.
And I think Margot Kidder was the host.
I think you're right.
And they were all making fun of her about the fact that she doesn't know that, that Clark Kent and Superman are the same person. That's really funny. I don't think if either of us were to just put on a pair of glasses or take off a pair of glasses, we would look that different.
I don't know. I mean, we could try it. Yeah. I mean, they don't even really. I mean, I admit I'm not up on all the Superman stuff lately, but you know, a lot of the recent incarnations, they don't even mess with that anymore, do they? They just kind of are like, ah, you know, everybody knows. That's the same guy. Who cares?
Exactly. So Hiltz walks over the wire and moves to his blind spot, and he puts back up against the fence. I know that I can clearly see the guards. I don't know why the guards can't see him.
Yeah.
It's very easy for us to see the guards. He's looking back and forth. And Guff, who said he was going to go take a walk, doesn't take a walk because he just wants to sit there and watch his friend get shot.
Well, yeah. I mean, it's, you know, it's like a car accident. You can't look away, you know?
It, you know, he just moments ago said that he wants to get as far away from there as possible because he doesn't want anything to do with it. But, you know.
Yeah, but, yeah, I mean, you know, once you're already here and you've decided to stay back, you're like, well, hey, I might as well watch and see what happens, you know? So.
Yeah, I'm not really connected to it. It's just, even though we're the only two Americans, you know, the only two real Americans in the camp, because Henley is an RAF pilot. You know, he's an American volunteer in the RAF, so it's a little different than the two of them.
There are other Americans. They're just not Americans, like Coburn. Right, right. You know, he's Australian.
Well, you have Bronson's also American. I mean, Bronson was born in Pennsylvania. You know. Which always, you know, most in some of my favorite movies of his, in this movie, in The Dirty Dozen, you know, he plays basically a Polish or Eastern European character. And then Hiltz just stands there. You know, he's looking, and then right away, you hear someone say, "Hey, get out." And the guards start shooting at him.
Which that's funny. Why did you scream, get out, and then shoot? Like the line from The Dark Knight Rises where Bane's like, why would you shoot a man before throwing him out of a plane? It's like, well, why did you bother to yell get out if you were just going to shoot the guy?
Right. No, the question is who's saying get out? I think it's actually Frick who screams get out. I think Frick, but he screams get out, and then the German guards start shooting. Now, I'm not sure if this means that the German guard is a sharpshooter or not, because he shoots right as he meant. Is he just trying to warn him? Is he bored?
Oh, yeah. You know, is he trying to miss? Yeah, okay. All right. Yeah, I wondered about that as well. I mean, he could have taken him out, but, I mean, yeah, maybe he's just intentionally shooting at his feet. Yeah.
Exactly.
I don't know.
Yeah. And then, you know, we get to see that Hiltz actually has picked up some German since he's been as a prisoner in a German camp, where he's starting out, Nicht schieben, don't shoot. For all those Germans listening, forgive my mispronunciation of that. Which again, why would the guard listen to him?
Well, they're bored, you know.
Apparently. Well, I know they're bored. There's no question about that. You know, the prisoners have been in the camp 20 minutes, and they're really bored.
Yeah, this is probably the most excitement they've had for a while. And everybody shows up. The guards are all like, hey, guys, this is the day. You know, everybody tries to escape on day one. So, you know, get ready. This is going to be fun. We're going to order pizza. It's going to be great.
And then we get to go decorate the Christmas trees afterwards.
Exactly. The annual Christmas pizza party. Shoot everybody.
Exactly. All right. Well, you have anything else to say for this minute, Todd?
I don't think so.
All right. Well, hopefully you'll be willing to come back tomorrow and finish up the week with us.
We will finish it up. One more to go.
All right. Excellent. Why don't you tell everyone how they can once again get in touch with you?
Yeah. Visit my blog, Forgotten Films. It's at forgottenfilmcast.wordpress.com. The podcast, The Forgotten Filmcast, can be found wherever you find your podcast. And then follow me on Twitter at Forgotten Films. That's films with a Z.
All right. And while you're doing that, go rate and review and subscribe for us. Give us some good air if you like what you're hearing. You can come and visit us on our website, thegreatescapeminute.com. Our Twitter account is greatescapemxm. Our email address is thegreatminute@gmail.com. And you can come talk to us on our Facebook group, The Cooler. Tally-ho.
Tally-ho.